We love the Football League. The 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the FL 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. No, it's not the Burnley tones of Sandbridges this week, but Danny Parkinson, very much the Tom Heaton of the Radio Yorkshire gang, filling in where I can. Probably more of a John O'Shea, to be honest. Before I totally mess up this intro, I better bring in Tom Carnduff, the editor of Football 72. Tom, thanks for coming in.
It's all right, no problems. That was a very nice intro.
Oh, thank you.
Very well.
And it was,
I like that.
It wasn't a total mess, which is what usually most of my intros are.
Well, that was fine. I don't see a problem with that at all.
After I'm a bit hyper, loads of sugar in the office today.
I know, it's great, isn't it? I mean, just on like a pile of it.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh. It's what Henry VIII would have had, I imagine, when he came in football shirt day.
Football shirt Friday and loads of treats.
I've got the old Euro 96 top on.
Lovely. I'm a big fan of it.
One of the finest, I think. Now, I needed this for the summer as well, so yeah. I've seen it's a wise investment for at least three more uses before it goes in the cupboard to never be used again.
Fair enough.
From disappointment. but let's have a look at the football, because it's all kicking off in the Championship. I said a few times that the top of the Championship was done. I said it was going to be Hull that had run away with it. I said it all the way through the season. They had a massive drop off, and Middlesbrough drawing with Burnley on Tuesday night is just keeping it really close now up there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the majority of that game, it was going to be a case of Middlesbrough winning it and they were going to pull ahead. But obviously that goal from Burnley making it the 1-1 draw, and it stayed exactly as it was in the end. Brighton, a good result for them. So they've now caught up with it. They're level on points with Burnley. It's thrown it wide open once again. Like you said, I thought at the start of the season it was Brighton's, that was it. They've done it and then it changed and it's keep changing. But now, three games to go, it's anyone's, and it's pretty good from a neutral point of view anyway.
Definitely. I mean, I'm looking at the Championship now and I'm thinking, if I'm going to put my 2 cents in, Middlesbrough probably look like one of the stronger teams. In a strange way of doing it as well, because I talk of rankers holiday? Is that what we're going to call it now?
Yeah.
Brief holiday.
Brief holiday.
There's no official line on what happened there.
I think it's just kind of been swept under
now. Yeah, it's like in the history, you'll just see one long timeline of Itokaranka. He went on holiday a couple of months ago. But they're looking like the strongest team now, but Burnley look like they're going to take him to the end.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I think section two of the podcast is going to talk about the running a bit more, but yeah, it's very, very hard to call. Both teams have got, all three when you put Brighton into the equation. The running they've got, it's difficult for all three. And I think that last game of the season is going to be good between Middlesbrough and Brighton. And hopefully it's all to play for still then. But yeah, that game, it could have really been sealing it for Borough if they managed to get the 3 points. But obviously, Burnley come back, keeps it wide open.
Yeah, you're right there. And looking elsewhere, big news at the bottom with Charlton's relegation. Seems that Wrighton's been on the wall for this one for some time, but they have put up a little bit of a fight in recent weeks. They've managed to take a few points here and there, but problems on and off the pitch, it just seemed to be a collection and a cauldron that was going to end up in relegation for them.
Just a terrible season to be a Charlton fan. Like you mentioned it there, on and off the pitch, or whenever you look at Charlton, you know, you put Charlton Athletic and all the news about the off-the-field issues. I think the relegation, it's kind of, even though they're a football team, it's all about on the pitch. They've been relegated, but that's still not as talked about as much as obviously all the protests and everything going on there. So it's not a great time for Charlton. But like you said, it's been coming for a while. There wasn't much chance of them turning it around. So not a surprise whatsoever, really, that they have finally been relegated.
No, you're right there. But I always look at League One. It's a very difficult league to get yourself back up from. But those teams that come down usually are the strongest when it comes to it. I think that's why it's been a bit messed up this season, because Wigan are the only team that are really taking the bull by the horns in League One. But with Charlton, do you think that they're a team that could bounce straight back up again, or do you think everything else needs to be sorted out now?
It's difficult to say, because you mentioned there Wigan. Obviously, they look like they're straight on the way back to the Championship. But then you look at teams like Blackpool who have come down.
Yeah.
Similar to Charlton, those protests and the off-the-field issues, there's obviously the uncertainty that not everyone's settled in terms of the fan base there as well, and they're going completely the other way. They're looking for double relegation as well. So it's very difficult to predict with Charlton, but they've got, you know, a good set of players, a decent set of players, particularly for League One. It's just interesting to see how the summer goes and if the owner will be willing to put the money into strengthen and get them back into the Championship.
Yeah, interesting to see how that one plays out, because quite a lot of Charlton fans with the protests recently, you can understand some of their frustrations. Elsewhere, looking just down the road, Sheffield Wednesday, just down the road for us, not Charlton. Yeah. I'm not, my geography's not that bad.
Bit of a distance, that, between London and Sheffield, but there we go.
What a turnaround for them. I mean, it was only a few years ago. They were fighting away relegation. That final day when with Huddersfield Town, I remember that fondly, and they were fighting it out at the bottom for staying up. And Sheffield Wednesday, total turnaround, and Carlos Carvajal has to get a lot of the plaudits for this because they're playing some really nice football. They've got probably the best strike force in the Championship. No wonder he's had his contract extended there.
Yeah, definitely. This is one of the big off the pitch but on the pitch type stories that we've had this week. Yeah, Carlos Carvajal signing that new contract with Sheffield Wednesday. Like you said, it's been a fantastic turnaround there. It's a bit of a surprise appointment, I think, for many when he was given the job in the summer, but he's shown what he can do.
Yeah.
They look like they are going to make top six. They've got a fantastic squad there, and it's entertaining football as well. It's not just getting the results. I think I've been in a press conference with him where he says he doesn't mind conceding 9 as long as they score 10. Because then the fans have seen 19 goals and they've got 3 points. And it's always good to have a manager, head coach with that attitude. And for Sheffield Wednesday, it's worked out fantastically. And even if they don't go up this season, it's still the playoff experience, which they haven't got much of recently, particularly in the Championship, and they can look to build next year, particularly with the teams that are coming down and the problems they've got. It's a good chance for Sheffield Wednesday to seize promotion either this season or next.
Yeah, you're right there. And I was talking to some Hull fans not so long ago. I mean, it looks like they're going to be in the playoffs. We'll talk about the running in a little while, like we're saying, but it seems that Sheffield Wednesday are actually the team to fear because they're going into this a little bit of the underdogs, but we've been saying, that strike force, that team spirit, form hasn't been great the last few games, but if they can pick it up, they are going to be a real force and they're not going to be pushed around in the playoffs now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been a bit patchy in terms of results at Hillsborough, and I was going to say, you don't want to be a team going to Hillsborough and playing Sheffield Wednesday. I know as a fan I've hated this season when Leeds went there. You go into that game thinking, not got much chance here the way they're going. And I think any team, even when the top teams are going there, it's you're not sure, you're never sure, particularly at home. And they've shown what a quality side they are. They can get the wins when they need to. And I think top six for them, it's going to happen. Even with it could be thrown wide open, but I think they'll see it off to the end of the season.
Yeah, you're right there. Playoffs are always a bit of a lottery, and it should be a very interesting playoff campaign for Sheffield Wednesday. Elsewhere, Tom, I'm going to pick up on this one of the MK Dons manager, Carl Robinson. He believes that Sheffield Wednesday's on-loan left-back, Daniel Pudley. Puddle.
Yeah, we'll go for that.
We'll go for that so sorry. I'm terrible with pronunciation. You saw me off air. I must have pronounced it 6 or 7 times trying to get it right. Looked at that then, no chance. Anyway, says he should be banned from football. Some strong comments there from Robinson.
Definitely, yeah. Well, this, just speaking about Sheffield Wednesday's results, that 0-0 draw, I think tempers increased in that final quarter, particularly when both sides fighting for different things. Wednesday looking for promotion. MK Dons still looking to try and stay in the league, no matter what mountain they've got to climb. So, but yeah, it's infuriated not just Wednesday fans, but Wolves fans, I've noticed on our Twitter as well. Mm. With obviously the MK Dons challenge on Mikel Ziro that they've got there, or Ziro, that I think that's put him out for a very, very long time. And obviously with Robinson saying that a player should be banned from football and one of his players has committed a challenge that's caused serious injury, obviously it's not gone down quite well. But yeah, it's difficult to say. It's difficult to say, but I'm not sure if it was the fact that, you know, they've come close to winning and maybe just afterwards, but it's a difficult one to decide on.
There's a lot of pressure on Robinson as well, you know, with the relegation and everything else. I don't understand the comments, but I show some sympathy with the comments to some extent because just the sheer pressure he must be under trying to keep him in the Championship.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always just after a game as well when stuff's said and things are said. And it is that, I think, with the pressure. Obviously, it's disappointing for them to draw 0-0. That could have been a major scalp for them, particularly this time of the season. I think it would have sent a message, really, to the teams around them. And it would have put them in a much better position as opposed to potential relegation this weekend. So it could be a case of the pressure going on. But like I said, it's a difficult one to call. And I think it was a heat-of-the-moment thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I look forward to talking more about the Championship promotion race and that running. And we'll do that right after this.
This is the 72 Podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL72 Podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Join us now just as we're about to talk about the Championship promotion race and the running that's there. Tom Carnduff still joins us, but we've also got someone else that's tagged along as well. Tom Feeney from Radio Yorkshire's news team.
All right, Danny, how are we doing?
Not too bad. Love the greeting. It was great.
Very enthusiastic. Tom usually comes in at section six and gets all the predictions wrong. Yeah. But he's decided to talk a bit of promotion.
I was going to say, because he even sounded like he'd been media spun in that way. You know, when you try to talk to a player at a press conference and they've got these lines in their head. That's how Tom greeted me. But thanks for coming on, Tom.
I'm looking forward to it.
There we go again. He's on it again. Tom, we've got to talk about the championship promotion race, because what a run-in this has become. I'm looking at it now, and there's three teams that can go up automatically. I'm pretty sure myself that the six will stay as they are in terms of the teams that are involved. I can't see any of the teams dropping out, but it still is going to be an interesting running.
Yeah, definitely. We briefly touched on it, talking about Burnley and Borough in the week, where that could have really sealed it for Borough, but opened it up once again with that draw. And we're looking at it now where there's a case of three teams still any chance of winning the league whatsoever, particularly when you do look at that running. We ran a poll on our Twitter on Wednesday evening, I think it was. 58% of people think that Borough will win the league, and an exact split on 21% each way for Burnley and Brighton.
Really?
So a lot obviously back in Borough and that 2-point lead, but you look at their run and it's difficult, very difficult. They've got three teams in the top eight, eight or top nine, but that's difficult when you look at the likes of Burnley as well, Preston, QPR, and Charlton, very winnable games, and could all come to the last game of the season when Borough host Brighton, and what a game that could be.
I cannot wait for that game. Feeney, what are you thinking in terms of this one? Because he's an interesting run-in, but if I had to pin your colours to the mast, who do you think will be there or thereabouts? Have you got any ideas?
I think Middlesbrough have done that. I really do. I think they've got Ita Karanka's team are playing very good football, you know, fantastic manager. And I think now they're going with the mentality of us against the world. The comments he made after the Burnley game, the 1-1, where he criticised Burnley for the long balls they'd thrown him, which wasn't really fair because, that wasn't the case. But I just think Middlesbrough will be the team guaranteed. And I've got a feeling that Middlesbrough might actually be confirmed before they face Brighton in that final game, which would then mean Brighton, they beat Middlesbrough, they could go up. It's going to be a fascinating end to the season, whatever happens.
As a neutral, I would much prefer a run-in. We've seen a lot of this in the Premier League, but I'm definitely about that on the Championship. And frankly, I can't write off Burnley, because I think Andre Gray's been scoring some great goals this season. The reason he's up there in the goal scoring charts. And I just look at them and they've got a very solid squad and a structure and a continuity to them as well. Some of the teams around them don't really have.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Andre Gray there, PFA Championship Player of the Year, announced on Sunday. Fantastic striker. What a signing he's been for them this season. Yeah. But what sways me a bit towards Burnley as well is that running. We briefly mentioned it just then, but then even you're looking at Brighton, they've got to play Derby. They've got Charlton away this weekend, which on paper should be a fairly straightforward result for them. But then they've got to play Derby and then Borough after that. That's two very, very difficult games. And Burnley's running, on paper, it looks very easy for them. Yeah. But like I say, it's just too close to call. Every team's got their qualities. You know, you're looking at Burnley with the likes of Gray and Barton. Brighton as a team have been fantastic, and then Borough have obviously got their standout stars there as well. So, like I said, as a neutral, we'd like a run-in. I'd like a run-in, but I think particularly if it's going to be between Borough and Brighton for the Championship on that final day, then that'll be a very dramatic ending to it indeed.
Yeah, you're right there. Feeney, we're looking at that run-in. Charlton cropping up quite a few times for a couple of teams. It might be quite interesting because now they've actually been relegated, you do see some of the pressure lifted off these teams. They could actually be a real kingmaker in these next few.
They could, but I don't think they will be because they've just gone out with a whimper. They really have. I mean, the performance against Bolton, 0-0 isn't a terrible result, but I think the way they played and the reaction at full time when certain players didn't even applaud the away fans.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that is a team that really have given up, and a lot of them players know they won't be there next season. So I think, but the thing is with the Championship, you take any team for granted, they sometimes can bite back. So be interesting, but I've got a feeling Charlton will lose every game from now till the end.
Interesting there, if you are going to give 3 points. I genuinely think there's always something about those bottom three teams, when a team's relegated, they can just cause the troubles. As a Bradford man myself, I know very well of the teams in the bottom six causing trouble. And we'll talk about a little bit about League One later on, but let's just pick up on Brighton, a team that, by right, they shouldn't be up there. They shouldn't be challenging there, but they are. They are the underdogs going into this. Even still, you can tell by the poll have been on 21%. But there's certainly no way we should be writing them off.
No, definitely no. I think Brighton are one team that's always up there and thereabouts, but never this high. I think, yeah, obviously, you know, can look at them and go, yeah, fair enough, playoffs. Obviously, there has been the seasons where they've been, you know, near relegation, which was a disaster. And, you know, we speak about Wednesday before. In a way, Brighton have had that turnaround as well, where they are now. We're talking about them as champions. And even if they did have that bit of a lead at the top, it's still good to see that they're... Even if they have dropped out of first place, they've kept themselves in touch there, and joint points with Burnley in second. And like I said, we're talking about them as potential champions, and with three games left, 2 points in it, they've got every chance of doing that.
You're right there. And when you look at the history of the Championship, especially last year with Bournemouth going up as champions, no one expected them to be taking the Championship's top spot, but they still managed it. So I suppose on a history level as well, it's not like the strongest team in the Championship always ends up in first place.
Yeah, I think what will benefit Brighton as well is there's a lot of pressure on Burnley and Borough. Mm. Obviously, Borough being top, their favourites. They've got a great squad there, great manager. Burnley, ex-Premier League team, everyone's always backing them to come straight back up. Whereas Brighton, it's, you know, the pressure's kind of off them, particularly even in that situation and being in third place as well. Obviously, they'll want to get that promotion, and I think that will help them, but they're still a strong team if they do go into the playoffs. I think any of the three who do end up in the playoffs, it's a strong pool this year for the third to sixth place, but you can't really look past the team who are going to finish in third, considering how close they came to winning the league.
Yeah, you're right there. That's something I wanted to pick up on with you there as well, Feeney, is that team that do miss out on the automatics, end up going into the playoffs, how much of an impact they'll have, because Sheffield Wednesday, the team that seemed to be feared in the playoffs, whole while they've dipped away, there's still a real strong squad there that can beat any team in the Championship on their day. So it is going to be a really interesting playoff series.
It really is. And I think it's that horrible thing, really, where you're in a position. It normally happens in one league where you'd really like it if the top three could just go up automatically, because really all three, you know, it's going to be such a shame for one of them teams not to be going up. And sometimes it gives the side extra motivation that they know they, you know, they should be going to Wembley and then going up via the playoffs. But normally it actually goes the other way, and normally they actually, the team that just miss out, normally lose in the semi-finals because they've given so much for them final few games. And I think that's the thing now. It looks like this will be going down to that second place, will be going down to the last game. So that, you know, whoever misses out is going to have to be giving it everything for the next few games, which means, you know, you might have to play a player who's not 100%. You might have to, you know, be a bit fatigued. So it's a real interesting running. And normally, you know, if you go by history, a team like Sheffield Wednesday, you'd actually feel quite confident facing the team that finishes third, because they'll be facing a tired team.
Yeah, that's very true. Feeney, just quickly, can I get a 1-2-3 from you? Where do you think they'll finish?
Middlesbrough 1, Brighton 2, Burnley 3.
Interesting, kind of.
It's very difficult. I think it is going to be between Borough and Brighton. I think Burnley will end up third. We spoke about the maybe having the easier run in, but I think the pressure's off Brighton in this situation. I think it could come down. I'd like it to come down to the last day, and I think it can. Yeah. So I'm going to say Brighton first, Borough, and then Burnley.
Wow, because I was actually going to say, believe it or not, Burnley first, Middlesbrough, and Brighton to miss out and end up going to the playoffs. I just think that they've got Burnley and Middlesbrough, for me, the stronger squads. I just think for the running, they might be able to get themselves into there. So it should be a very interesting time indeed. I cannot wait for this. And lads, I'm sure we'll be talking about it again very, very shortly. Next up, we'll be talking about the Football League's player of the teams of the season, should I say. Nothing like reading something off a piece of paper and getting it obliterately wrong, but I make sure I will read it after this.
You're listening to the 72 Podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the 72 Podcast with me, Danny Parkinson, and Tom Cowan, the editor of the 72. Tom, we're going to pick up now on the PFA's player, the Football League player, team of the year.
Team, you got it wrong again.
Oh, this is getting ridiculous now.
Never mind.
Yes, we do have the teams of the season for all the three leagues, Championship, League One and League Two. And some surprise in there. Let's start off with the Championship. And as you can imagine, most of them from the top six, top three teams. I think one of the most interesting ones for me is Joey Barton, because what a player he's been this season. He has been a real rock for Burnley this season.
Oh, definitely, yeah. When we spoke about player of the year, I think obviously Andre Gray, the goal scorer, but Sam was saying, obviously, as a Burnley fan, he says he's not surprised. Wouldn't be surprised if Joey Barton was put forward for him, and what a fantastic signing he's been for them. And an important signing with where they are in the league as well. We threw this open on our Twitter as well to see if people agreed with it. And one person suggested maybe Joey Barton shouldn't have been included in it, which took me by surprise because of how important he's been. And a great signing for Burnley. Linked with quite a few clubs last summer, but you can see why, obviously, with the talent he is. He showed that when he came down to the Championship with QPR.
Yes.
I think that was all that. I'm not a Championship player, malarkey, but he did eventually play in it. He's shown what an important player he is at this level, and it's a very strong team there when you're looking at it. The one bit that caught me was the Ayala and Dawson split. They said for the first time in the PFA voting history, it was a split decision, an exact same amount of votes. They had to put them both in.
That is a strange decision.
I think it just shows, obviously, the quality this year that you can't separate some of those players at the top end of the table.
You're right there. I mean, I look at a lot of these players that are in here, and you would have thought they've either played in the Premier League and drop down, but the vast majority look like they will be playing in the Premier League in the next few seasons. I think that's the sort of quality the Championship has now, with the parachute payments and all the rest of it. You can actually keep these players to trying to get into the Premier League now.
Yeah, definitely. I think when Newcastle came down all those years ago, I think they did that. They kind of just kept their team and came straight back up, and that was rare. Like you said, now it's not, with the spending power and that Championship teams have. You're looking at that, and even the strikers there, Andre Gray and Ross McCormack, two fantastic strikers. Both, obviously, Gray won it. McCormack was also up for Player of the Year. There was one suggestion, maybe Forestieri should have been looked in there as well. Fantastic season he's had as well. But obviously, with the inclusion of Barry Bannon in the midfield there, he's been an important player for Sheffield Wednesday. And I can't see two better strikers in this league at the moment than Andre Gray and Ross McCormack.
Yeah, you're right there. And I also have to admit, I think Forestier is worth his weight in gold. What I've seen of him, he's been absolutely fantastic for Wednesday. Saw him against Huddersfield. He only had one chance, managed to put it in the back of the net. And that's what gets you 3 points. That's what gets you up there. McCormack's an interesting one because he's possibly in the lowest ranked team for someone who's in the team of the year. So he's interested to see that. But Ross McCormack, he has shined so far. It's the amount of goals that have conceded that have left Fulham in the place that they are. But I mean, he's going to be, we'll talk about his transfers later on, but a great season for him. And he's always surprised me that he's never actually had the chance to go up into the Premier League. He's always been a Championship player.
Yeah, definitely. There was that big price tag coming from Leeds, the 11 million. It obviously got the headlines. It was a big shock that Fulham were preparing to spend that amount of money. And I think that's always been seen as an excessive fee. But looking at this season, I'm not sure, when you're thinking of the strikers, the likes of Jordan Rhodes. Even Andre Gray was a bit cheaper and he's shown his worth, but they've got two seasons out of McCormack now, and the amount of goals he's contributed has kept them up this season and kept them up last season. And I think he pretty much kept Leeds up when he was there. Like you said, it seems to be the defence that's the problem at Fulham. They've identified a striker there that's going to get them goals, and he has. And not just goals, he's thrown in loads of assists as well, and he's got a great striking partner in Dembele when they're both playing. For me, you're looking at that and you're thinking, that's £5 million a season that they've had him now. The amount of goals he's put, it's similar to Andre Gray, who cost, you know, just a tad bit more. So when you're putting it like that, I think that was a fee worth paying for him.
I'd agree there. Couldn't agree more. I think back when he was originally sold, the Championship didn't have as many big spenders at the time. But now it's just so casual to spend 10, 15, 20 million pounds in a transfer market. A few years ago, it would have been totally unheard of. Just lastly on the Championship teams, there's a lot made about a poor standard of centre-backs in the Premier League and in the top leagues around the world. But actually, when you look at the defenders in the Championship Team of the Year, it wouldn't surprise me if we did see them in the Premier League at some point. Because, as we say, I mean, John Stones, I've got my own opinions of him. That's a debate for another day. But we look at these centre-backs and you've got to think, eventually, you know, we're going to have to see them at some top clubs, because the likes of Otamendi at Manchester City costed £30 million. I'm sure Michael Keane had cost a lot less.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think that's the thing when you look at the Premier League, obviously. I think the assumption and the automatic thing to do nowadays is look abroad, look at the other leagues, look at the Spanish top league, look at the Bundesliga in Germany, look at Serie A in Italy. Mm. And the fact is that you don't need to. You've got these defenders in the Championship. And for me, George Friend, fantastic left-back, the best left-back, probably one of the best left-backs in the country at the moment. He's fantastic. And it's really surprised me that he hasn't gone to the Premier League yet. Obviously, as a player, but obviously Borough wanted to keep hold of him and keeping him, obviously, for their own aspirations to get to the Premier League. But what a player. And what, you know, he's been such an important part of that team. And I think it's gone under the radar a bit with the position he plays. And I'm trying to think of the last decent left-back like that was Creswell before he got his move to West Ham. Fantastic full-back there. And what a player George Friend is, and what an important part he's been for Borough and where they are in the league.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And it'd be interesting to see how a lot of these players get on in a few years' time. Let's move down to League One, Tom, because there's an interesting trend here. The vast majority tend to be Wigan, Walsall and a couple of Gillingham. Now, it's interesting there that they're all collected in that, but the top six is very, very different. And it sparks to me that there aren't as many of the top-class players that aren't brought in on loan. A lot of them have been brought in, especially Bradford, for example, who have no players in the League One team of the season. The best ones have probably been the loanees rather than anything else. But a lot of these have shined through. I mean, Adam Armstrong, what a fantastic player he is for Coventry. I mean, when Coventry were at the top of the league, I'd say a large part of that was down to him.
Oh, definitely, yeah. You could put your house on him scoring most weeks and you'd definitely get it back. He's a fantastic striker and he's shown really the ability he's got, and he's only young. He's got plenty of years ahead of him, and his strike partner in this team would be Will Grigg from Wigan. Again, another important player that kind of, not raised eyebrows, but it kind of showed that Wigan were serious about getting back into the Championship where they signed him. They identified a player. They were willing to spend the money on a striker, a seven-figure sum to bring him, and it's paid off for them. And you're looking around that team and it's a very, very talented team there. And it's not an old team either. A lot of young players in there, which shows the upcoming talent that there is in League One.
Yeah, you're right there. And just what do you make of this one overall? I think that the biggest thing that comes from me is that when Wigan go back up, they're not going to be a team that comes straight back down again. They are going to be a bit of a force again, because they do seem to have a real spine of talented players in that squad.
Yeah, Wigan, when they came down from the Championship, it was a change as an entire club as opposed to just as a team. There was obviously the change in the chairman, in the manager, and they publicly said it, obviously, with any team that goes down. They said, look, we're just going to rebuild completely and come back stronger. And I think for Wigan, that's what they needed at that point, rather than trying to scramble and stay up, to come back and have that season. Much like Wolves did when they got relegated out of the Championship, they needed that kind of strong rebuilding process in League One. And it's paid off for them. And like you said, they've got some fantastic players in that team who are really going to push them on in the Championship. And hopefully they can, over the next couple of years, establish themselves as a top-end team and try and get themselves back into the Premier League.
Yeah, you're right there. Some interesting times ahead for Wigan, definitely. And looking at the League Two team of the season as well, that's a bit more spread out. And I suppose at Northampton as well, who've got a few players in there, I wouldn't say they were necessarily the surprise, but they have managed to run away with League Two this season and done very well for themselves in the process.
Yeah, I've always been full of praise for Northampton. When you look at the off-the-field issues as well, a lot of teams, as we've seen and are currently with off-the-field issues, they crumble. Northampton have thrived regardless of it, and stormed to the League Two title, and they're looking strong for League One as well. Often it's the case where a team who goes well in League Two goes quite well in League One. Look at Burton Albion at the moment. And obviously for Northampton, they'll be looking to retain a lot of these players, the likes of Ricky Holmes, who were up for the Player of the Year. And they'll be looking to build and push themselves up the League One table next year.
Well, when you look at this League Two team this season, what really shouts out to you, Tom?
The attacking side of that team. Obviously, we praise the defensive side of it in the Championship team. Spoke about the midfield and that as well. But Kemar Roofe, a fantastic player for Oxford. What a player. He's really shined this season. He's caught the headlines as well in the FA Cup. He's shown what a quality player he is. And it's going to be very difficult for Oxford to keep hold of him. You look at Jay Simpson and Matty Taylor as well. Matty Taylor with a shed load of goals this season. He's really, really turned it on for Bristol Rovers this season. And the three of those together as a striking option, well, for any team, I think they'd storm to success in the Football League with those three players at the helm.
Yep, totally agree there. Just finally, before we move on from this one, Tom, if you could pick one player from each of the leagues that sum it up for you, that maybe should have been the player of the year or who's taken you and the favourite shine, who would it be? Start off with a Championship.
Championship was one player we spoke about already, and that's Joey Barton.
Yeah.
Fantastic for Burnley this season. I think it's just if there wasn't Andre Gray there, he'd be getting the plaudits. Which Andre Gray's shined. League One's a very, very difficult one. Bradley Dack obviously won Player of the Year, but for me, it's difficult. There's a few players in here. I'd have to say Will Grigg. He's really been the important point of that Wigan team, and he's. When they've needed it, he's shown up for them. He's put them in that position. His goals have really helped them out this season and been an important part of that building process back to the Championship. And League Two, I'm going to go after with the Player of the Year in Kemar Roofe. Can't see past him. What a player. And when I've seen him play, he's been exceptional. And like I said, it's going to be difficult for them to keep hold of him. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see him in the Championship next season.
No, you are right there. And I have to agree with you with the Championship and League Two. But I have to admit, Bradley Dack, personal favourite of mine, when I saw him playing Bradford against Gillingham, when Gillingham were taking people by surprise, no one expected to be up and around there. I looked at that and he had an absolutely storming 90. Yeah. He was unbelievable. He's barely controllable. So he deserves all the plaudits, in my opinion. And he very much does have a bright future. We're talking about transfer news again right after this.
All About the Game, the 72 podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72 podcast. Me, Danny Parkinson, and Tom Carnduff, the editor of the FL72.co.uk. And Tom, let's have a look at some of the transfer news that's been happening, because Chris Hughton, the Brighton manager, says he'd be willing to spend £15 million to secure the services of Fulham's Ross McCormack. We'll touch a little bit on Ross McCormack, but I don't think that's a bad price at all.
No, especially if they make it to the Premier League, they need a good striker there. And Ross McCormack, we said, why has he not had the chance of it yet? This could be it. I think if Brighton do go up, I think for a player like McCormack, that'd be a good move if he is to get a shot at the Premier League, I think he deserves at least one season with his form in the Championship over the last three seasons. And Brighton might be the way to go for it. I'm not sure, however, if they don't go up, would they be willing to spend £15 million on a striker? Obviously, goals have been very hard to come by for Brighton, really, for a team at the top end. When you look at the strikers around him, Borough with Jordan Rhodes, Burnley with Andre Gray. Brighton, it's a bit difficult there. So obviously a McCormack-type player will really make everyone sit up and take them seriously if they don't go up. But even if they do, they're going to go into the Premier League with a strong striker there. Obviously, £15 million, a lot of money, but for a team newly promoted, it's the type of money you need to spend on players now to stay up in that league. So not really surprised by this one, and I think it's just the first of many, many rumours we'll hear about Ross McCormack in the summer.
I'm not surprised either, because I was talking to Naki Wells earlier on today, Huddersfield Town striker, and he was actually saying that the best striker, we had to say apart from him, that was in the Championship at the moment, he said Ross McCormack. He just said he was a fantastic player. I'm not surprised the amount of goals he's been scoring, so I imagine we'll see a lot about him in the summer. Elsewhere, Besiktas are in discussions to sign the current Queen's Park Rangers winger Junior Hoyler, and I'm not surprised that there are rumours circling about him, because Hoyler is a fantastic player. I've seen some great performances from him.
Fantastic player, out of contract in the summer as well, so obviously he's going to attract a lot of interest. But a big name in Besiktas, you know, European, obviously a European team pretty much every season, it seems. What a move that'll be for him. I'm not sure how regular he'll be there, but a fantastic player for QPR. And I think for a team like QPR who will want to be looking to push back towards the Premier League, for me, it's the type of player you want to be keeping.
Yeah, no, I'd totally agree there. It'll be interesting to see how Queen's Park Rangers get on, because we all know about the off-the-field antics that are happening at QPR, so interesting times ahead for them. Elsewhere, Reading manager Brian McDermott to target in a move for Barnsley winger Adam Hamill at the end of the season. I'm not surprised, because there's a few players in that Barnsley team that have been targeted from the Championship, aimless Sam Winnell. It'll be interesting to see how Barnsley get on at the end of the season, because I imagine if they do get promoted to the Championship, it might keep some of them. But if they don't end up getting into the playoffs and they miss out, it could be another rebuilding job for Paul Heckingbottom.
Yeah, you mentioned Sam Winnell there. Adam Hamill as well has got the attention of Championship clubs throughout this season, and it's clear to see why. However, you spoke about Barnsley there. If they go up, I think I have to agree with you. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a very difficult situation for them if they don't go up, because they're going to be looking to these players, and obviously with Championship interest, they'll want to be Championship players, but Barnsley, they'll want to be a Championship team.
Yes.
Much like they were only a couple of years ago, and they'll need these type of players to fire them back into the Championship. But regardless, still a great player, and I think he'll be a good player for Reading to sign as well. And I see if he goes there, he'll be a starter. I can't see him being a bench player.
Yeah, you're right there. It'd be interesting to see where he goes. I always love it when a player that comes up manages to be a starter, because for me, there's nothing worse than seeing a player move up a league and then end up not being able to crack into the first team just from a wealth of talent. So be good to see him getting some first team football. Elsewhere, Harry Maguire is looking to leave Hull City, Tom.
Yeah, he's said to be unhappy that manager Steve Bruce is electing to play his son Alex over former Sheffield United defender. Obviously, Maguire really showed what quality player he was at Sheffield United. A lot of interest. They reluctantly let him join Hull, who at the time were a Premier League team. So. Yes. Obviously, it's difficult to turn that one down. He's not been playing as much as he wants to be. Obviously, left on the bench as well. So he'll be pushing a move. Three clubs looking at him as well. And I think one of those is Middlesbrough. Or I think because they did have a bid rejected for him previously. Yeah. So be interesting to see if they go up, whether they'll still want Maguire and they'll be looking elsewhere maybe to teams higher up in the Premier League maybe to get some players. But yeah, Maguire, a fantastic talent still. I still think he'd be a great defender for many Championship teams. So obviously this situation is going to put them on alert.
Yeah, you're right there. I'd be interested to see how that one plays out. I suppose most of these transfers all bases themselves on whether or not the team gets promotion.
Yeah,
which
definitely.
Which is going to be the biggest thing. I mean, you want to retain that kind of quality, and especially you look at some of these, your Ross McCormack's, Harry Maguire, these are spine players. These are players that can really shine out in a squad like Junior Hoylett and Adam Hamill. It's an important aspect for all of these teams to try and keep their squads if they are going to get promoted.
Yeah, definitely. And even like much like Hamill at Barnsley, even if they don't, you're going to be looking at these players to say, look, you know, we do need you to go strength to strength next season, to try and get promotion next season if we don't get it this season. But the one for me, McCormack's the most difficult there. It's been difficult to keep him anyway. I think he's been trying to force a move from Fulham in the January transfer window, I should say, when obviously Borough were reportedly interested in him. And he's a top striker in this league. I don't think he's going to be happy playing for a team who have just avoided relegation two seasons in a row. For him, he's going to be wanting to challenge at the top end. So obviously, if Brighton do come on. With something official for him this summer, it's going to be very, very difficult for Fulham to turn that down.
Yeah, you're right there. Interesting times ahead for the transfers in the Football League. I'm looking forward to seeing which players are going to be moving about, and no doubt we'll have loads of news of that over the summer to keep us entertained while the Euros are on and England probably leave the group stages.
Optimism.
Got to be optimistic, Tom. Got to be optimistic. anyway, my pessimism aside, we'll be looking at the fixtures coming up in the next week.
We love the Football League. The 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire. Tom Carnduff, the editor of the 72, still joins us. And remember to send us your thoughts via the FBL72 on Twitter and at Radio_Yorkshire. You can also visit the 72.co.uk as well. So make sure you do that. We'd love to hear your thoughts on all of it. Hopefully it will be people ringing in saying bring Sam back immediately, which I imagine is what it'll be.
You've done a great job. I highly doubt those complaints will come in.
It's very well edited. Very well edited. let's have a look at the week ahead in the Football League then. We're going to start off with Derby against Sheffield Wednesday. A bit of a tester for the playoffs, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Sheffield Wednesday seem to have got a lot of mentions in this podcast.
Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah.
All different reasons, all good reasons, and a massive, massive game at this time of the season in Derby. Two teams who I think are going to make playoffs now. Obviously, there's still the chance that maybe Cardiff could sneak in, but I think a bit difficult with that. And it's a big, big test for Sheffield Wednesday as well. We automatically look at Derby as a promotion-type team. Obviously, last season, it went wrong at the end. But we look to them as a team at the top end of the table. Team who used this Sheffield Wednesday, we spoke about their turnaround. It's a big test for Wednesday. Mm. Three games to go. You're travelling to a promotion rival away. Their last three games have not been great either.
No, you're
You look
right.
at the MK Dons, the Ipswich draws, and then going away to Bristol City. I know they're in good form, but to get the hammering that they did, no one was expecting that. And Derby, on the other hand, won their last four. Obviously, the slip-up against Cardiff before that. But that's included the likes of Hull, include the likes of beating Bristol City away, where Sheffield Wednesday had a miserable afternoon there. So a huge game for Wednesday. And obviously for Derby as well, who will be looking to kind of push themselves up into the... as high as they can, even if it is that fourth place, it's still finishing higher than fifth.
Yeah, you're right there. It is going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. I mean, Derby's turnaround has been something remarkable, really, in these last four games, because I thought they'd written it off, and I have to admit, at points, I thought they were going to slip out of the playoffs as well.
Yeah, well obviously the Clement sacking, that was a massive, massive shock to a lot of people. And I think that was Derby, this is when they're going to start to bottle a bit. Yeah. They're going to drop out. And they, like you said, they showed signs of nearly dropping out, but turned it round. Recent form's been excellent going into this game. Home advantage as well. They'll be looking to try and get that fourth spot as just a bit of a psychological advantage over Hull when they... You know, it's a very likely scenario that they will play him in the playoffs.
Yeah, very interesting game indeed. We're keeping our eyes on that one. Elsewhere, MK Dons versus Brentford. It's just going to be an interesting game, this one, for MK Dons as well. I've not checked through all of the mathematics. I've not got my abacus out. But when I look at MK Dons now, I take it they'll need 3 points to try and keep relegation away from them, or at least have that pipe dream of it.
Definitely, yeah. This could be the weekend that the MK Dons return to League One. Hard game in Brentford. You're looking at MK Dons' form, and it's been miserable. Obviously, the result against Sheffield Wednesday, a good point. If it was 3-4 months ago, you'd be looking, going, great point away at Sheffield Wednesday. Now, every team, they need to beat, you know, every team in the league, and I think this is the weekend we will see them relegated, unfortunately. It's a big, big mountain to climb anyway if they are to stay up. But Brentford, they've been great. Their last five games, their form's been fantastic. You're looking, they're beating the likes of Cardiff, Ipswich. You're beating the teams, even like Bolton, who are at the bottom. They can show that they can beat anyone in this league, no matter where they are. So a massive uphill challenge for the MK Dons, a massive challenge to tackle as well, and even with home advantage, I can't see them turning this one round.
Wouldn't surprise me, actually, if next season we actually did start to see a bit of a Brentford revival again, because we all remember last year, they had a great time in the Championship. They were the team that were the below spenders of everyone else, in that unity and everything that happened off the pitch in the manager leaving, should we say. This season, they had a poor start to the season, but now they've really started to kick on. If they can take that into 16-17 season, I won't be surprised if we at least got a top 10 finish out of Brentford.
Definitely, sitting in 13th at the moment, and top 10's not out of the equation. I think only 3 points separates them, and Preston, another fantastic season in them in 10th. And Brentford, like you said, they would want this bit of momentum going into next season. At one point, they looked like they were going to be finishing, you know, 18th, 19th. They had a terrible, terrible run of form, but turned it round, recent results, and they'll be looking at the MK Dons and thinking this is a team that we can beat and push ourselves up and try and secure a top half finish this season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that one gets on. I have to feel for MK Dons in a bit because, in a way, their downfall coincided with Rotherham's fantastic run of form. They became the unbeatables in the Championship out of absolutely nowhere. Real belief behind them. And it just seemed that when they had fallen into the playoffs, every other team, every time MK Dons would win, all the teams around them would also win. It's been quite unfortunate in that sense, but I suppose you are where you are in the table for a reason.
Yeah, definitely. Rotherham, well, nobody expected managerial change made at the right time. But with Carl Robinson, he's still a very young manager. He's still learning the managerial game, and he's experienced promotion and a fantastic League One season for MK Dons. Just, you know, they really, really secured that promotion well, and this might just be a part of the experience for them if they do come back down. It's interesting to see if they can return to the Championship, because they want to kind of avoid being a yo-yo team between the two leagues, and if they do come up next time, they want to make sure that they can really cement themselves as a Championship club.
Yeah, very true indeed. Elsewhere, Tom Fulham against Nottingham Forest. Should be an interesting one, this one. Fulham, once again, not fulfilling the potential of the season overall. We know their goal-scoring threat. They actually have one of the best goal-scoring records in the league. They just have one of the worst, maybe, of all time in goals conceded. It's ridiculous how many they have.
Definitely. Fulham Forest, two teams have just been dreadful this season, and fans' expectations have really underachieved given the statuses of the clubs. And Fulham, they look like they turned it round a bit a few weeks ago. You're looking at, they're beating the likes of MK teams around them, Preston, who are going well, Cardiff as well, with their playoff aspirations. And you're thinking, okay, they've turned it around, they're going to push themselves up a bit. And then Brighton came along. They travelled to Brighton, and it was a demolition. Mm. That was just a day to forget for Fulham. Forest, on the other hand, the results have been dreadful.
Yeah.
Absolutely dreadful. They've free-falled their way down to where they are at the moment. I think them and Fulham are on the same amount of points.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
And two teams who have really, really struggled, and two teams who will be Championship clubs next season, but really don't want to be where they are at the moment. And we spoke about McCormack. I think Fulham have got to make the most of him now, because I can't see him being a player for Fulham in the 16-17 season.
That's very true indeed. It seems very much down to Dembele and McCormack so far. Everyone else has been pretty poor, and I make no mistake in saying that. Nottingham Forest, it's interesting, because the vast majority this season of Nottingham Forest seems to be a little bit like Leeds in a way. Managerial changes, off the pitch issues, once again taking over from the actual footballing issues, and now they've been getting on the pitch. I've got a friend down there at Nottingham Forest, and when I was talking to him about everything that was happening off the pitch, you're just like, well, you just want a bit of stability. It seems like there's a team that are crying out for that now.
Definitely, and it's not like they've got the on-the-field distractions either.
Mm.
Eight games now, no win. The last win was the 8th of March against Preston. Since then, it's been losses and draws, and it's kind of the opposite to Fulham in terms of they just can't score whatsoever. You're looking at them, you're thinking, where are the goals coming from? Even that win against Preston was a 1-0.
Yeah.
Not the most entertaining for the home crowds, but I'm sure it's a relief more than anything. And next season, they really have to have a bit of an inquest, both on and off the field, you know, where they can improve and ensure that, you know, they're not going to end up in this downward spiral, and where every season they're gradually getting lower and lower, because if they get any lower, they're going to be ending up in League One.
That's very true indeed. Tom, it's time to go for the predictions next. I mean, I've got some interesting stats in front of me. How Sam's been getting on, how you've been getting on, and how Radio Yorkshire have been getting on as well. We'll discuss that all in a second.
All about the game. The 72 Podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72 Podcast, in association with Radio Yorkshire. Me, Danny Parkinson, Tom Carnduff, and Tom Feeney from the Radio Yorkshire newsroom. We are back for more predictions. But remember, get in touch with your views. Want to hear your thoughts on everything that's happening in the Football League, whatever team you support. Get in touch via at FBL72 and Radio_Yorkshire. Remember, visit the 72.co.uk for all your Football League news as well. Gents, let's get on to the part of the show where Tom Feeney usually makes a bit of a fool of himself. Because looking by these, Tom, Tom Feeney, you've done relatively badly. You are bottom of the league. You on 22 points. You are now 14 points adrift of Sam Bridges in the lead.
Yep.
5 points away from Tom Carnduff on 27.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to have to defend myself, Danny, here, because, you know, you've made these accusations that I've not done very well. But
no,
if you actually look at the facts, I'm two wins off second. I mean, a lot, you know, Mauricio Pochettino at the minute second in the league. Everyone's saying he's doing marvellous. I'm only third at the minute.
You're bottom.
Out of three. Yeah,
you're bottom.
No, I'm third. I mean, that's the thing here. I'm only 5 points off second. You know, where's my statue like Pochettino's asking
for? You're not Accrington. You're Dagenham and Redbridge. Right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Top goal league to reference.
Oh, you're going to love him. You're going to love him. Tom Cardiff, let's start with you first. Let's go through last week's results and how everyone did. Last week, Sheffield Wednesday versus Ipswich. That one finished 1-1. No one managed to get that one. Sam predicted a 3-1 win to Sheffield Wednesday. Cardiff, you predicted a 2-1 win for Ipswich. And Tom, you predicted a 2-0 victory for Sheffield Wednesday. The result actually being 1-1. No points given for anyone there. Elsewhere, Cardiff City versus QPR, the other one. This one ended 0-0. Nothing correct there either. Tom Carnduff, you went for a 1-0 to Cardiff. And so did Sam Bridges as well. And Tom Feeney said 4-0 Cardiff.
Yeah.
You can see why he's bottom.
I can see why he's bottom.
I've got to go for it.
Absurd, yeah, absurd. And elsewhere, one where we actually managed to get some points on the board, Burton Albion versus Barnsley. That one ended as a board draw, a 0-0. Sam Bridges thought that Barnsley would nick it and it would be 1-0 to Barnsley. Tom Cardiff, you got 1 point for predicting it was going to be 2-2 and you got the draw there. And Tom Feeney, you picked up a point as well. Not good enough picking up a point at this stage of the season, but we'll take it anyway. You predicted 1-0 when it was 0-0. Now, I am awful at predictions. Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
As you can see, so are we.
Yeah, but that's
right.
True.
Don't worry, you'll fit right in.
I'm going to ruin Sam Bridges' record over the next three. And just to remind you, it's 1 point for a result, 3 points for a correct score. And this week's games will start off with Derby County against Sheffield Wednesday. I'm going to Sheffield Wednesday klaxon reference. Tom Candleth, let's go for you first. Derby County against Sheffield Wednesday.
I've spoke about it already, so I'll just go for the result. I spoke about obviously what it means for both teams. I think a home win. So Derby 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1.
Derby 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Derby 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Okay, Tom Feeney.
Right, I'm having to be tactical now because my aim is second. And I actually was going to say that Derby would win, but you know what? Anything that Cardiff says, I'm going to say the opposite. I am going to say a 2-2 draw.
A 2-2 draw for Tom Feeney. 2-2 draw. You said you were going to go for it and then predicted a very mild result. I was expecting a 4-5 or something along those lines. I can't see past Sheffield Wednesday at the moment. So I'm going to go 1-0 to Sheffield Wednesday. I don't think that'd be the worst result in the world for the Owls. And I think they'll take that. I think it's going to be nice running. So someone's going to get a point, either way. Let's have a look at QPR against Reading. Tom Cardiff, how are you going to go for this one?
Two teams with nothing really to play for now at this point in the season. So I think it's just going to be building, getting a bit of momentum for next season. I can't see either side taking it, so I'm going to say a 1-1 draw.
A 1-1 draw for Tom Cardiff. Tom Feeney?
To me, I think Reading, you look at the last few results, not too good. And I think QPR, you know, with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, they need to start picking up some form of a bit of pressure on Hasselbank, I'd say. So I'm going to say QPR 2, Reading 1.
QPR 2, Reading 1. Well, I'm going to go from the result against Leeds when it was a properly good game of football for a change.
It was.
Involving Leeds United. And they managed to be a bit of a goal fest. So what I'm going to go this time, I'm going to go for a 3-2 win for Reading. I'm going to take that. I just think they've got a bit more firepower up front, Reading, than QPR. I don't think they've still filled a gap left by Charlie Austin. Elsewhere, massive game in League One, Sheffield United against Barnsley. If Sheffield United win this one, there could be a point off Gillingham. If Barnsley win it, they could find themselves in the playoff spots. So where do you throw your two penneth on this one, Cam?
We spoke about, obviously, games at the time of the season. This is another one. This is huge, huge for Sheffield United in particular, because if they win this, playoffs really is a decent shout. I know Nigel Atkins was always saying playoffs is achievable. Not sure the fans felt the same way, but they're really in a position to do this now. And huge game at Bramall Lane as well. Earlier in the season, teams have kind of come into Bramall Lane, getting results. They've got out of that trend a bit now, so they've kind of kicked that a bit. For that, I think Sheffield United could nick it and keep their playoff hopes alive. I'm going to say 2-1 Sheffield United.
2-1 Sheffield United. Interesting, that one. How are you finding this one, Fanny?
I look at Nigel Adkins. I think if he's got the kitchen sink, he's throwing it for this game. I am going to say Sheffield United...
Throwing it at what?
Throwing it at Barnsley, disrupting him. I am saying Sheffield United 4, Barnsley 0.
4-0.
I genuinely think United are going to run away with this one. That is the prediction. Put your money on it.
Last time we predicted 4-0, it finished 0-0.
Yeah. Don't put your money on it. He couldn't even get the saying right. Never mind anything else. Throw
Tom Feedy, who is currently bottom of the predictions league, is telling you to put your money on his prediction. Oh, well. Hopefully Danny's is a bit better.
I hope so, but I think I'm going to use my Bradford bias slightly on this one. Because the best possible result would be a 0-0 draw. It means that neither side are going to end up challenging to get into the top six, and it might be too little too late for Sheffield United if they do that. And I just have a feeling that they might cancel each other out. It does seem like it's going to be one of those games. So a 0-0 draw, Sheffield United against Barnsley. Well, I hope we've helped you with some of the predictions, and... I'm not sure if Tom Feeney did, but...
throwing his sink at Barnsley or Bramall Lane or something. Not sure yet.
Can't wait for a manager to come out at a press conference one day and go, we threw the sink at the opposition. That's definitely the saying I'm going to take out today. Thanks a lot for listening to the FL72 podcast. Tom Carnduff, editor of the FL72, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem.
And Tom Feeney, thanks a lot for popping in as well at certain segments of the show.
No worries, Danny.
Cheers,
mate. So enthusiastic.
Yeah, total enthusiasm from a man there. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. I've been Danny Pyson. And remember, Sam Bridges will be back next week. So if you have any thoughts, remember to get in touch. The at FBL72 and at Radio_Yorkshire. And check out the 72.co.uk for all the latest news and reviews on the Football League results.
You're listening to the 72 podcast in association with Radio Yorkshire.